responsive reading this morning. Selections are taken from John 17, Hebrews 10, and Psalms 133. Let's all start together this morning. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory.
How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony.
I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message.
How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me.
How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony.
And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony.
If you're visiting today, my name is Bill Greiner, and it's an honor to be the pastor here at Eagle Ridge Church of God, and we're glad that you're here on this first day of 2017. This morning, I'm going to be introducing some things that we're going to be doing around here for the next several months. Part of it is a series that I'm going to be teaching on called The Good and Beautiful Life. And what this is going to be about is, we haven't done this in a while, but we're going to do something where we're going to try to focus all together, all of our groups that are meeting, our small groups and CE classes, the preaching on Sunday morning, and a particular book that we've been encouraging people to pick up called The Good and Beautiful Life, to kind of get our hearts and our heads all together in one directed area. And so I'm going to be talking about this series and what it's about. But basically it starts with a question: what kind of life do you want to have? And do I think that the life that I really want, that I really yearn for, can be achieved by following the principles of our culture and this world? Those are the key questions. What kind of life do we want? And do we think that we can get that life by following the principles of this world? We're going to be looking at what Jesus said about what a good and beautiful life is about in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermons that Jesus preached. If you were to, the Bible's the Bible and it's all God's word, but for my money, if you were to pick the epicenter of it, it would be the Sermon on the Mount. If if the whole thing caught on fire and you were able to pull a couple pages out, aim for somewhere in the Gospels and try to get the Sermon on the Mount out, and you'll be good. You'll have what you need. So Jesus describes the kind of life that I want in the Sermon on the Mount. And so things he teaches about some virtues that we can have that are gifts from him, but virtues that produce the kind of life that we really want, which is counter to the culture that we have, which doesn't connect virtues with having a happy life and having a good life and having a beautiful life. So we're going to talk about this. But I want to start off with And if you're visiting, in your worship folder, there's an outline to kind of help you to kind of follow along and be actively involved and maybe not be on autopilot. Because maybe you're a little sleepy today, and maybe it'll help to write. Who knows? It's just a thought. But first of all, what this series isn't. What this emphasis on the good and beautiful life isn't. It's not about trying harder. See, I don't think that's how people change, by white-knuckle trying harder. There's a myth about willpower, that we can will something, bear down and will something to happen. Like, I am going to be more patient. Try that one. I'm going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. The will is just the ability to choose. It has no power. It's just choosing. Wrong thinking about God and about what a good life is not what this is about. It is what this is about. It's not about trying harder. The reaction to wrong thinking, that we can just bear down and get the good life that we want, is about the truth, is the opposite of the truth of what God says about how we change. We don't change by bearing down and by incredible intensity. There's three ways that God has ordained that he can transform our lives and we can have the life that we want and have the life that is beautiful and good. But there's also, if we focus on a faith and a walk with God that's just about, I've got to try harder than I did in 2016, here's the consequences. The first one is continually try hard and fail. In other words, we get the idea that this is the Christian life. I'm supposed to just beat myself and try hard knowing that I'm always going to fall short. I mean, that's a wonderful way to live, don't you think? Really? I'm just going to keep trying harder and I'm going to fail and I'm going to feel like a failure. That's not a good and beautiful life. The second option, if we're going to do the try hard way, is try hard, fail, and then just give up. The Christian life is just too hard. It's unrealistic. This is too much stress. I'm just going to do what I want and see if I can get the life that I want. That's the other outcome of just focusing on trying harder. And the third one is, then we can also try hard and compare. I'm going to try real hard to not sin, to be a good person, to get the life that I have. And then I'm going to compare myself to somebody else who maybe didn't do as well in a certain area and go, okay, I'm fine. There we go. Found somebody to compare myself to. I'm good. These are not the path to the life that God wants us to have. A life that's filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the stuff that we want. This is not the path. It doesn't work. I've tried it. Do those options reflect your view of walking with God right now? Just be honest. I just keep trying and failing, and that's just the way it's going to be. Or, I'm done. I'm just going to do what I want. This is too hard. Or, I found somebody who maybe isn't doing quite as well as me, and then therefore I can feel good about myself. Do any of those strike gold with how you're viewing your walk with God? Let me assure you that that's not what God wants for you. It's not what God wants for me. He wants us to have a good and beautiful life, a life that is full. Listen to this verse in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So it really is about our minds. A lot of it is about our minds. But we can't follow the customs of this culture. Here's the kind of life I want, and I'm going to get it by following the customs and the patterns of this world, it's clearly we're not going to have the life that God wants us to have. Here's also what it's not about. It's not about trying hard. It's also not about learning new content. In this series, in the book that we're encouraging you to read, and we've got them out in the back, The Good and Beautiful Life by James Brian Smith, the book that we're encouraging you to read, and the stuff I'm going to preach in the sermon, there isn't going to be some radical new content. See, that's the thing in our culture that they lie to us about. It's about something that you don't know that you need to go find out that's going to make you happy. That's the casino method. If I get the right number, I'm going to be okay. It doesn't work. So the Sermon on the Mount is not particularly confusing. We're going to talk about some things that God wants for us. And the effect of what he wants us, if we obey him, we will get the life that he wants us to have. We'll get to experience the things that he wants us to experience. But it's not about learning. I'm not going to say anything up here during this series that somebody else probably hasn't said before. I'm just not that clever. You don't have to agree with that, but in your mind you can, but you just don't really need to say it out loud. It's about something that God tells me to do that I can train myself in. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. This series and this emphasis is not about confirming what you already believe. And you might say dot, dot, dot about the Christian life. What you think about the Christian life and what it's supposed to be, I want to encourage you to assume that there's some things where your thinking is wrong. Come in with an open mind and say, God, teach me what it is to follow you and have the kind of life that you want me to have, even in the difficult circumstances that I'm in. Teach me something that I need to be about and I need to focus on. So this time is going to be encouraged as a time of discovery. Discovering something that isn't necessarily new information, but something that strikes me where I'm at. So if you will enter this process in whatever level you choose to, with the idea, there's something there for me that's waiting to be discovered, then I think you're set up to have a good experience and for God to really speak to you. So that's what this series is not about. Those are the things it's not about. I want to clear that up right away. It's not about all of that. What this series is about is how God creates real life change. There's something that everybody wants to change about their life. This is how, in the next couple of minutes, this is how God creates life change, I believe. How he does it. How he transforms us into something more like we were intended to be, something more like his son Jesus. The first component is adopting Jesus' story about God. This is about falling in love with the God Jesus knew. Listening to see what does Jesus say about God and what does he say about living a life in him. Let's pay attention to Jesus for a few moments. It's about adopting his story, the story that he's telling. Here's what I believe about human beings is we are particularly wired to think in terms of story. We think we break it down into the facts, but really we take what we experience and we put it in a storyline. And we get a lot of that from our family. They tell us a story that we adopt about what life is about what a relationship with God is about. And then we take the experiences and we tend to plug them into the storyline that we have. There's stories like, in our culture, pull yourself up on your own bootstraps. That's a story. People live that story. Or maybe the story that from our culture or from your family you've got is that it's really about getting into the right school, getting good grades, getting into the right school so you can get the right job and so you can have a happy life. That's a story. We think in terms of story. Here's the thing about a story. You've got one, I've got one, and it's playing, And it's either, it's running your life, but it also may be ruining your life. Jesus is telling a story in the Sermon on the Mount about what it is to live as a part of his kingdom. He's telling that as a story. Life change is being able to confront what I'm thinking about life and what Jesus is saying and saying, okay, there's something wrong in my thinking about life, about how I'm adding it all up and putting it together in a storyline, in a movie, in a narrative that isn't what Jesus is directing. So having that confronted. So your story is either, it's running, but it also may be ruining your life. You may have heard the phrase, a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've got a story of how this is heading, and I'm heading that way for it. Some people have had the story implanted in them that, it, you know, life is just about getting what you can get. Some of us have had the story planted in us, you're really not up to snuff. Or you're a victim. We've all had stories planted in our minds. The first part of change is looking at Jesus' story and saying, where does that bang up against the way I think and the way I view life and the way I view God? And then say, okay, I'm going to let that challenge me. That's the first thing. We have to look at Jesus' story. Adopting Jesus' story about God. And it's not about taking new information. Because if it's about new information, we'll just add it to the story we have already. We have to look at what Jesus is saying. And how does that bang up against what the way I view life? And again, think in terms of, is there something that I'm seeing wrong? That I've just viewed it wrong all along? And allowing God to do that. So that's the first thing that changed. And we're going to try to do that. We're going to look at, through some of this reading, what Jesus is really saying about the Christian life and letting that confront the story of what you think and I think it's about. In this verse in Philippians 2:5, it says, in your relationships with one another, again, in real life, bam, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus. Have the story that Jesus is telling be your story. The second component of change, once we allow Jesus' story to confront the way we're living, and this is not about earning God's favor, the second aspect, but it's about training and shaping our souls. It's about starting to practice something that you're not good at yet. And now if you're a try-hard person, that's frustrating. But training is different. Training is doing something that I can do now so that I can do something later that I can't do yet. Are you following me? Doing little things that I can do now, practicing them so that I can do big things later. Because you're not ready for the big thing yet. Neither am I. Do the little things. Any good coach is about process. Do what I can do today to be prepared for the thing that I can't do later. Because I'm not ready for it. I used this example before. A Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning, early in his football career, had the rap, and it was legitimate that he could not throw the ball well in bad weather, when it was rainy. He couldn't do it. The facts were clear. He stunk in the rain. I don't know that I would preach well in the rain, so I can't throw stones at him. But he could not throw, he could not do that. But what could Peyton Manning do? What could he do? Every day, well, not every day, but certain days of the week after practice, he and his center, Jeff Saturday, a great name, I love Saturday, would dunk footballs in a bucket of water. Saturday would snap them to him. He would catch them and throw them at targets. See, that's something he could do. He could practice. He could train. Wind the story forward. Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl that he won was a dreadful game in the pouring rain against the Chicago Bears. he was able to complete passes, enough passes in dreadful weather to win the game. He did something he could do earlier so he could do something later that he couldn't do. That's training. It's not fancy. It's not flashy. But we're going to talk about in this series some things that you and I can do to train our souls to connect with the story that Jesus is telling so that we can have a life that's reflected by the two words, good and beautiful. That's what training is about. Listen to this verse. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Again, I can't be godly, but I can train. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. That's money right there. That verse right there, that's cash. It will spend, it will work anywhere, anytime, in China, in the 1800s, in 2017, that works. If the rest of this that I'm talking about is blah, 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 hone in on that right there. That'll get you where you need to go. There's benefit in physical training. But training your soul, there's incredible benefit. Now there's effort involved, but again, it's not about bare knuckle. Do the thing I can do today so that tomorrow I can do the thing that I couldn't do today. That was too big for me. The moment was too big. Third component of change that we're going to be practicing in this is participation in community. If you're participating in the community and other Christ followers, this is where we reflect. If I'm having trouble figuring out that the way I think is not the way Jesus thinks, and I have having trouble practicing things that God wants me to do, the best place for me is to bump up against people like you. Because that's where I reflect on how I'm walking with God. We reflect on that with other people. I'm convinced that in the later stages of my ministry career that much of what our gathering together is about reflecting so that we can go out and live the way Christ wants us to live and have that good and beautiful life. That's what gathering together is about, reflecting. And we're going to talk about some practical ways to start gathering together. And the final thing is the action of the Holy Spirit. All of that stuff is you know, the getting confronted with Jesus' story, training myself, and getting in community so I can reflect with others. The juice, the power, is the Holy Spirit. The action of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what transforms. In this verse it says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus talking, and he teaches you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It reminds and teaches. Now for you visual learners, here's a little diagram of what I just described. James Dryan Smith says, there's adopting Jesus' narrative or story. There's training our souls or spiritual disciplines, if you want to call that. And then there's community, where we reflect. All of that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, you don't change by bearing down on the thing you need to change. You do it by indirect attack. I'm not living the way God wants me to be. I'm not having the life I need. But I'm going to do these three things. And then pray that the Holy Spirit creates the change in me. That's what we're going to be talking about. And that's what I'm excited about. Is if you put yourself in a position to experience those different things, here's what I believe. I believe that God's going to transform your life, and you're going to have more and more of that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that good and beautiful life that we all want. Here's how it works. Here's how we're trying to do this in a real practical way in the next couple of months. And I've kind of hinted at some of this. You know, the first thing is we want you to read The Good and Beautiful Life by James Bryan Smith. Now, this is not, when I say read, again, it's not, there's information in here, but this is not a book necessarily about reading. There are short chapters, and then there's something that you are going to practice or train on or work on. And so it's not a heavy, if you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a reader. This is an easy read. Again, it's not about some new radical information. This is about the Sermon on the Mount and being confronted by God's story, by Jesus' story. So we're encouraging, the first aspect is to get that book. We're selling them out here. You can get it on your tablet or your computer or your phone or whatever, and just start reading that. He teaches about truth, about the life, our life in Christ, gives us a ways that we can train our souls. And so reading the book is the first aspect. The second is reflect in a small group. We want to encourage you, and this is all, I say this pretty regularly around here, if you've heard this before, and you can yawn or be unimpressed, but I believe that, fast forward 2018, that in 2017, there's some people that are Christ followers that if you put yourself in position with them, if you put yourself in a place where you can relate to some people, you take the risk and get into a group or get into something with other people, I believe that is the thing that's going to change your life, that God's going to use. Maybe you've been holding off and you say, I'm not a touchy-feely small group thing. These groups are not about us, you know, bearing our souls to one another. It's about community, reflecting, and training together so we can have the life that God wants us to have and the life that you really want. Again, what kind of life do you want? Do you think you can get it through the principles and the patterns of this world? Those are the questions that we're going to be talking about. So we're going to encourage you to get into group. Now on this next slide, here's some groups that are set up. Various times. Some are at the church, some are at other places. There are different times of the week. And I really want to challenge you to see if there's something, to take that risk and take that step, that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to join one of those. Variety of different places, times, days of the week. And if you really want to be in a group and none of these fit you, talk to me. Deb, where are you? There, Deb Deal. And we'll put together something for you. We'll find some other people and we'll get a group for you. Because we really think it's important that aspect of community and reflecting is the way we can see our lives change. So find one of those or let us know. You can even grab that community pad that we pass by and write down, I want a group, but none of these work for me. Just put it, that's a good way to communicate with us. Then the how this works, book, a group, and then repeat by listening to weekly teaching. I'm going to be teaching through the Sermon on the Mount and through some of these principles. So kind of shampoo, rinse, repeat, that kind of thing. I always thought, isn't it interesting the person that you're buying the shampoo from you says you should wash twice? I don't have enough hair to need to wash twice. One is just fine. But, amen, I heard that. And I'm putting that in your secret file. But training is repetition. And so some of you, hearing something is really important. Sitting there and taking down some notes is really helpful to you. So I want to encourage you. But the sermons, if you say, you know, you can talk all you want. I'm not ready to get in a group, and I'm not a reader, but I'm going to come to church. The sermons are not going to be an inside joke if you didn't read the book or you didn't get into a group. So just relax. Take a deep breath. I didn't give you a hall pass for the next 2 months, okay? The sermons will stand on their own. If they don't, that's on me. The most effective life change comes, I believe, through the Holy Spirit's power, is if we train, we reflect in a group, and we hear it taught. I think that's a great pattern. So that's what we're driving at. Now, if you can't get in a group, and your schedule is just so all over the place, and again, don't look at that list and say I can't make every one of those. Okay, you can make 90. Then join a group. But if it just doesn't work for your schedule, do it as a family, or get somebody that you can get online with. And maybe make a group online and communicate and reflect. Whatever you need to do, to reflect on the things that we're talking about, I think will be important. Over the phone, over the internet, it doesn't matter. The end result, the goal is to have a life that is reflected by those two words, good and beautiful. Do those two words honestly reflect the life that you're experiencing right now? Or are you trying to get it through the patterns of this world and add a little Jesus to it? That's taking my story and adding some stuff to it. It's still my story. It's not Jesus' story. That won't work. Listen to this. Been quoting this throughout the time. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. That's what I want my life to reflect. Can't do that, but I can train. I can rub shoulders with you guys. I can read things that challenge my story. And I can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do his work in me to produce this stuff. Because the tree, apple tree, produces apples. All right? I want to be the kind of tree that produces that kind of fruit. So here's the thing. If your life produced that kind of fruit, people can feed off of you. They will come to you. You will be attractive. And I will be attractive if we're producing that kind of fruit in our lives. Last thing, here's a resource. I preached a sermon series that was actually born out of the first book in this series called The Good and Beautiful God, and it was getting the story right. If you're interested, you can go to that on our website on Urchog. It's real easy to find. You can get those sermons, and you can listen to them. That might be something that might be helpful to you. Now, groups are starting as we speak, so I really want to challenge you to take a look at that and take that leap of faith and jump right in there. Again, life is not about God is good, you're bad, now go try harder. It's about doing today the thing that I can do so I can have the life tomorrow that I couldn't have today. It's about training and God's story and people like you and me gathering together. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your love. I want to thank you so much that you don't ask us to do things and then giggle while we jump to try to reach them. You know that you can produce in us the life that we really want in our hearts. But we have to believe that we're not going to get it through following the principles and the patterns of our culture, that we're going to get it through Jesus. So I ask that you would speak to us and continue to speak to us, that you would put an anointing upon this process that we're entering into so that we can become the kind of people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.